Welcome to the Mana Pool, the Geek.io Dungeons and Dragons 5th Edition Live Play Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Mana Pool, the live play role-playing podcast brought to you by Geek.io. Of course, I'm your host, CJ, but joining me as always are Necrofelix.
Hey.
Galadriel.
Hey.
Barry Gamer.
Hello.
And Tomb Raiding Carrie.
Hi.
I had nothing. I can't think of anything creative for your name, for your character yet. I'll get there. And the man who's trying to kill us all, or build this world, then to kill us all, and making us roll many, many different characters, is Josh.
Good evening, everyone.
This is what I get for giving people power.
Good evening, Dungeon Master.
Did you get that thing that I sent you?
You die last.
can you bring the Crypt Keeper voice down like one notch, please? It's making me very uncomfortable.
No. Let him amp that up because I'm kind of digging the Crypt Keeper. You can stay.
So those who have listened to last week's show realize that we are playing a new game for a little bit. Open Legend, brand new system. Open source goodness, openlegendrpg.com. But it's not my game to describe things to. I'm going to hand it over to Josh.
Alrighty, so yeah, here we are at the official start of the Open Legend campaign. Those of you who did tune in last week saw a good chunk of the character building process. We probably did a terrible job explaining it, but new system, we're completely new to it as well. Everyone's learning as we go together. Yay!
Together.
Ah. Ooh.
Ah. Ooh. What
you're not getting me to make any sounds like that. I'm not going to do it.
Do it!
Yeah, we know. It's not a dead body. You're not happy.
Felix gets one disadvantage on all rolls for not making a cute noise.
Right. So yeah, this is going to be definitely a work in progress, especially as we ourselves get used to the system. Because again, this is a new system for us. It's not one we have a lot of practice playing. And it does do some things differently from other tabletop systems that we've played in the past. So there's going to be a little bit of adjustment period. So I do ask that you bear with us. There may be some, you know, slightly more exaggerated pauses than usual as we, you know, double check rules. Thankfully, something that I do particularly love about the Open Legend system is that the rules are relatively uncomplicated, but also specify several times that you don't have to break the flow of the game to check rules, especially when you're starting out. Just run with things to the best of your recollection and make a note to double check it later. The important thing about Open Legend is to have fun and to tell a story together and to enjoy the experience rather than making sure you have the exact number of dice and targeting and spaces and spell components and yada 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 yada. Which is all fine and dandy by me. So for this game, I have gone ahead and I have created, well, revived rather, a world that I was building some years ago and felt like Open Legend was the perfect platform to present this story on because it was so relatively unrestricted. As was mentioned in the initial setup episodes, you know, Open Legend has just enough rules to make a balanced system, but not so many that you need 6 tomes for one character. So we are dealing with a planet that is colloquially known as Xanthuru, and that is primarily among the generic fantasy humanoid races, who named it as such for a formerly great leader who things happened with, and we'll get into that. Xanthuru itself is a very impressive planet in scope because it is, one, absolutely massive, I believe I mentioned previously, it is roughly the size of our solar system's Jupiter, making it 16 times the size of the planet Earth. They've got a lot of land they can explore. The starting area alone, the continent of Alteran, is going to take a good month or two just to get from one side to the other on foot or on horseback. You know, other movement shenanigans aside, there might be teleportation, there might be portals. I'm neither going to confirm nor deny. Play and find out. But I wanted them to have a very open sandbox to play in. And to that matter, most of the people living on the continent of Alteran don't know too much about the world around them, simply because it takes forever just to get anywhere else. Their nearest neighbor is a desert continent by the name of Mazra, and that alone takes several weeks by the fastest ships known to get to. And the only reason that's done is because of trade, so go figure. But they're going to have a pretty big world that they can sink their teeth into and have a bit of fun in, hopefully, and there's some other stuff going on. The planet itself has a energy source to it. Working off of the concept of the ley lines that pops up occasionally in fantasy and lore, the idea that there are conduits of energy running throughout the entirety of the world that flow through naturally occurring features of the land, such as tectonic plates, mountain ranges, rivers, lakes, so on and so forth. And in the case of this planet, they are massive conduits of magical energy. Now, most of the sentient races, and even some of the non-sentient races, over the thousands and thousands and thousands of years that they have lived on this planet, have figured out how to tap into this power to some degree. And through such things are, you know, wonderful fireballs hurled, and great cities raised up out of nothing, and fantastic devices built, but the issue there is that all happened good couple thousand years ago, was when humanity had its heyday. Almost overnight, in kind of a flash evolution, the at that point primitive humans who were dealing with nearly endless onslaught and bullying from a neighboring species called the Onurek, a very brutish, massive, powerful species of scaly-skinned, horned humanoids that basically believed in survival of the fittest. We're stronger than you, we're going to take what we want from you, and you're going to deal with it because we can pound you into a pulp. One human in particular was not too happy about this particular turn of events when one of the raiders decided they were going to make off with his only daughter. In an explosion of light that was seen for miles and miles around, this humble farmer suddenly became much more. He pulled in an absolutely phenomenal and to humans unknown amount of this magical energy, incinerated the offender on sight, and then raised a massive wall around his farm and gave, for the first time in generations and generations for the humans, a safe haven from these attacks and this endless bullying, basically. And it was at this time that the farmer Zan founded the first Zanethi civilization. He became more intelligent, more aware, more prescient of everything that the world encompassed, and he decided to spread this knowledge throughout what referred to themselves as the Zanethi people at this point. The other intelligent races of the land had known something of this mystical energy for some time, but the humans didn't really seem to have much of a knack for it. And Zan changed this. He took in disciples, teach them the ways of harnessing this magical energy. Those disciples moved on to across the Alteran Plains to various locations to found their own kingdoms and spread their own teachings. And for a time, it was something akin to the Renaissance. Everything was fantastic. Sciences were exploding. Discoveries were being made. Life was just improving over and over upon itself as human culture advanced so swiftly in such a short amount of time. And then, unfortunately, as humans are prone to doing, somebody fucked up. Two of his disciples, the only two still known to most recorded history, got into a little bit of a tiff over whose toys were better, essentially. A man by the name of Gar decided he was particularly fond of making automated things. Creatures that could operate autonomously. Most places tend to call them golems. The official in-game name for them are Garricks, because he was a vain son of a bitch. And one of the other enlightened, who was particularly known for... And I'm faltering because I'm not reading my own goddamn notes. But like I said, bear with me.
It happens.
Either way, things went down between these two individuals, and it kind of blew out two of the most massive intersections on the planet of all of these ley lines, completely running them dead and turning the entire area into a barren wasteland. Nothing grows there, nothing can be made to grow there, and anybody attempting to even make so much of a spark through magic gets diddly squat. So for that reason, the making of things like golems kind of fell out of favor. It's not really a thing you do these days. Don't bring it up. But because of this, because of this massive disappointment in his own people, Zan became incredibly morose that he had basically brought this foolishness upon his own people, cast everyone out of this fantastic walled city that he had constructed almost overnight, and vanished, city and all. And this led to something of a dark age for the humans, even darker than when they were being constantly raided by the Onurek, because at least the Onurek just wanted things. They didn't care particularly too much as long as they got what they felt was theirs. But unfortunately, in the absence of their great leader, the humans kind of fell to a lot of infighting over what was left, and things kind of descended into a dark age, which only recently started to sort itself out into the kingdoms as they stand currently. Now, this is all well and good, but the fact of the matter is, there is one thing about this planet that is pretty much considered a given, and that everyone pretty much wants badly. And that is the fact that somewhere on this planet, there is one single point where every single line of energy converges. And on that point, any person who can find and access that energy source would be able to achieve their wildest dreams. Absolutely nothing would be impossible to them with that much power beneath their feet. Unfortunately, nobody knows where this point is. And it's been hotly contested for a while as to where the location might be, whether or not the location itself exists, doesn't exist, or might even move. But like most things that promise the idea of granting yourself your wildest fantasies, dreams, and wishes, pretty much everybody wants to find it. And so that is where we run into our heroes. These individuals who will be, you know, experiencing this game with us for the next however long we feel like entertaining this little bit of fantasy. Everybody's got something that they want. The real question is, to what lengths are these individuals going to go to get their fantasies fulfilled? And so, that's pretty much the rambling, slightly nonsensical, slightly half-assed, I'm still making it up as I go along because I'm human too, backstory to where we are picking up.
Yay!
Fun times! Everything sounds amazing and no hardships whatsoever are ahead for us.
Exactly. Yeah, clearly we can just stroll right up there.
Yeah, let's just go to the Nexus. Right? One episode, that's it. We got this.
One and done.
Yeah, seriously.
Call it one shot.
One shot's all I need, baby.
Noon.
I stab the Nexus with my sword.
I punch the initiative.
You punch the initiative.
Yep.
The initiative punches back. It goes first.
Damn you, game mechanics.
So, yeah, with that said, we are dealing with a very wide space for you guys to have existed in for, you know, the entirety of your life so far. Nobody just into existence. Well, technically, except for one of you, but that's on them to talk about. The real question is, what do you guys as players want to establish from the get-go here? Are you wanting to be a pre-existing band of slightly do-wells? Did you want to meet up somewhere under the promise of booze and quests and saucy wenches?
Booze and quests and boobs.
Oh my.
Booze, boobs, and quests.
Well, I mean, we've already got the wolf and the bear, so where's the tiger?
God damn it.
I mean, Felix could be a cougar for all we know.
Hey, you don't know me. All right.
I mean, I will pretty much go anywhere that I can get a little bit of learning, a little bit closer to my objective, and also make a quick dime or two. So,
yeah. Job postings in guild halls and whatnot will lead me to relics that I can lock away before they can hurt anybody.
Yeah, I'm just looking for
what
the
are you
coin.
Talking about? Nobody, nothing would ever do that. There's no possible way that any artifacts from ancient civilizations could possibly be malfunctioning after all these years and cause harm in the world. That's just preposterous.
I feel like somehow we stepped into an alternate version of the Elder Scrolls. Somebody please put my dreads to rest.
Your dreads to rest?
I can pretty much like look for any kind of bounties and probably run into these guys.
Okay, so what I'm gathering here is
I foresee CJ's character and Raul's character going after the same bounty, and that being how
a piece of meat.
Yeah.
Just a slab of meat.
It's a nice juicy steak.
More like a chicken wing, but...
Eh, you know. So, Guild Hall it is. Bounty Hunters Guild Hall.
I don't know if I would do bounty hunting.
You're just there probably drinking.
No...
Looking for information, because a lot of those quests might bring you closer to your ultimate goal.
That is actually a really good idea.
So, like, you might not necessarily want a bounty of, like, oh, this guy skipped bail, come haul him in. You might be wanting, hey, go to this isolated mountain and see if there's a node there.
That actually sounds something like I would do. Cool.
Yeah, and something like I would do. So, hey.
You know me better than I do. I know me. All right.
So that's what I'm looking for. It looks like we have a general consensus that you guys are at least a roughly in the same area band of adventure seekers.
Yes.
So you might currently find yourselves in the town of Piern. It's not too far from the ocean, not too far from the incredibly dense forest known as the Leyleaf. It's not the biggest town on the continent, but it's decently sizable. It's good couple, probably near 1,000 people just chilling out, doing about their daily lives, town guards, so on and so forth. Big enough to, of course, host such a tavern that might have a message board for intrepid adventurers to inquire about information.
Fair enough. So where am I peering and peering? Hey, you're not the only one who could do these.
I do still love a good pun, though.
This is going to be a nightmare again. I'll never escape the puns. I know it.
Not in this group. You're not.
Yeah, no.
May the puns be with you and also with you.
Okay, so we're not together. We're just in the guild hall doing our own things, right?
Yep.
Those of you who have not already established that you were together to begin with, which I believe has to a slightest extent, you're mostly looking around and seeing, you know, very clearly adventurous types, those armed and armored and looking just a little more unusual than the average Bob, Harry, or Sue. In Pyrn, there's not a ton as far as actual job postings go. Mostly the big one at the moment. There's actually, as luck would have it, an advertisement. Because it's that fantastic time of year again, when a certain caravan is making the rounds across the plains, attempting to coerce the locals out of some of their hard-earned marks for just a little bit of entertainment. These wagons call themselves Wondrous, but they are mostly the most well-loved con in the entirety of Alterran. They promise fantastic beasts and give you horses with a couple of horns taped to their forehead, wondrous relics that are, you know, mostly sleight of hands and flashy lights, but for the cost, it's a nice way to break out of the bleakness of winter and, you know, socialize, mingle, get a little drunk, get yourself a giant turkey leg.
What are you saying? It's a traveling circus is what we're going to get.
It's Wondrous.
It's a wondrous traveling
circus. Traveling circus is so mundane.
So the carnival is coming to town.
Well, it's moving around. It's not too terribly far off from Pyrn at this point, maybe a day or two's ride, but the advertisement is specifically stressing the fact that they have something truly and exceptionally wondrous this year, which means it may be a horse with three horns glued to its forehead.
Ooh. Raul, I heard what you did there, by the way.
Oh, yeah, no, I did not escape.
Wait, I missed it. What happened?
The carnival.
I'm done.
Are we really going there already?
Yes.
Experience technical difficulties. Please stand by.
It's the mana pool.
God damn it. One of these days, I'm just going to strangle Raul.
Because you can't get to the rest of us.
I will go on a nationwide manhunt.
I mean, the rest of us are pretty much within the same 10-mile radius of each other, so, you know, it wouldn't be that much of a nationwide man.
Strength in numbers.
We'll show up to pick you up at the airport, and we'll just see you, and you'll go flying after Josh.
Josh is the biggest offender out of all of
Why, thank you. I try.
Anyway.
I don't think that's a compliment.
So... Very wondrous.
I will be picking up provisions.
Provisions are always good. As far as other postings on the board go, some of the merchant associations have their usual offerings of, hey, we've got a particularly good shipment coming through this area. We'd really like it not to be poached by the Unurek, so if you could provide some extra muscle to the caravan, we'd appreciate that. This is what we're offering. This is where we're going to if it lines up with your particular travel itinerary. See Joe for details.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, that sounds good. I mean, everyone knows I got a little bit of muscle, so... Let's see where this caravan's going. I go rip the notice all off the board.
Is this the same caravan with the exceptionally wondrous three-horned horse?
No. These are...
Listen, merchants. Don't you talk smack about the Trinicorn.
God damn it.
Different caravans, though. These are merchants. The other ones are conners. I mean, entertainers.
All right. So the merchant caravan. You see, I love to do good. I'm a good guy, despite summoning zombies and whatnot. So I wanna help these guys out. I wanna do it. Let's do it.
What's well, that? If you wanna help with this, who are you then?
Wait, was I am a solid character. I didn't.
Yeah, I'm in character. You're saying that you want to do this request with me, or not with me, just...
Okay, out of character. I mean, my character's not saying anything. I was stating that...
Oh, okay.
He was reading it over your shoulder and is like,
That sounds like a good idea. Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, he's just kind of like leaning in like, huh.
Can Fraggle help you?
I'm reading the paper.
Down a Fraggle Rock.
Okay, back in character. Let's make that transition smooth.
Smooth like butter.
You want to come with me and do this?
I can help. These people do need some assistance.
What kind of strength do you have? They say they need muscle.
Calabres is not going to even acknowledge that because he's wearing full plate armor and carrying a weapon.
So it might be compensation. You never know.
So he's just staring at you with his mask.
You look shiny, but do you have anything to back that up?
He will ignore you and then just walk towards where the caravan is.
Back that ass up. You're shiny. Back that ass up.
All right, I go ahead and head to the merchants.
The merchants caravan.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
We never described what our characters look like in the game.
Well, why would that matter? It's not like anybody's actually looking at you guys. Mm-hmm. Actually, a lot of attention is on this gruff-looking guy over in the corner of the bar.
Gruff.
He seems to have a bit of an audience at the moment. They're all leaning in rather intently.
I wouldn't call him gruff. He really doesn't like it.
I'm not sure if you're talking about bear.
Not talking about the walking furballs, either of them.
Oh. Was it one of the referencing me or Raul or what?
One of the corners of the bar is currently being dominated by a rather large humanoid man of the Zenethi race. He's very grizzled, big bushy beard. His tunic is, straining with muscle, so on and so forth. That would suggest he is a hardworking man of quite some time. But there's something of a wide-eyed, almost stunned look to his eyes. And the people around him are listening to the tale he's telling quite intently.
Yeah, I'll listen to him. Sounds like he has something interesting to say.
He can't buy his clothes. It looks like he's poured into them.
Well, you know.
Might be compensation.
Let's hear what he has to say.
Once he's done finishing half of the pint of ale that was pushed into his hand, a slight shudder moves down his spine. Couldn't move away fast enough for the wife. Had it up to here with the police, she said. Mossbeck definitely saw better years. We could deal with the wolves growing in number, set a few traps, they'll move on. Smart things, wolves. Had a bad year in the gardens before, too. You get bad seeds occasionally. It happens. We can persevere. Ah, but that damn spook.
Spook? Like, who boosty spooky ghosty thingy?
Talking about the Phantom of the Woods. You can find it hiding among the trees during the day, silent and still as the grave. You don't even know it's there until you turn around and there it is, taller than an oven and twice as wide. Wearing the hides of all manner of beasts, draped from head to toe, hood as black as death staring right into your soul. And then it reaches for you, wailing groan, chilling you to the bone. You can run from it, but it follows you. Footsteps like falling timber as it wails. Don't come into the village. Don't come into the village when the sun is up, but at night, oh, you can hear it. Rattle in the shutters with its steps, waking the babes with its moaning. Some think it's the serpent's work, a giant scent to bring folks to their final rest, whether or not. My old man thought it was just a fool own far away from its tribe, but even an own bleeds when you cut it. And the woodsman slams down his axe onto the tabletop, the blade shattered into a hunk of its former self. And I think it ain't my problem anymore.
Which village is this, friend? I put a paw on his shoulder.
Said as much as Ma's back right before the range. Someone forgot to silence their damn cell phone during the presentation.
That person probably...
Uh-oh, time for him to get kicked out of the theater.
Somebody call the usher.
Usher, I will be going experience. It's no fun.
What y'all want usher for? Usher for?
We could have edited that out.
Yeah, well, we're fun to call it out.
What's a good fantasy game without just a little bit of the breaking of immersion?
Right?
Joining the wolfman is who is probably one of the only people who's gone up to this guy so close is a very tall, dark gray-skinned woman with long braided white hair and a white trench coat. She puts down a map in front of the farmer. Show us where.
You can find it all throughout the woods over here. Sometimes you see it out as far as here. But mostly it just plagues the village. Gets in the way of the lumbering. Terrifies everyone. We've lost more people in the past couple of years to the Phantom than we have to any ill-felled timber or wolves. That's why I had enough. That's why we had to leave.
The gray woman looks at the wolf man and just kind of meets his eyes. Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
Probably. I look back at the tallish woman standing like behind me, and because I thought for a moment I was just speaking to the giant man. I look back at her, and yeah,
Wraiths don't normally come into towns.
No, they do not. This bears investigation.
Yes. At least it might, you know, be good enough and be good enough to take away from the showcase. This one's been looking to go to it, and any excuse not to go, I think, is a good one.
You're no fun.
No, it really isn't.
Looks back at her, looks at the tall gray woman, extends a paw. Kai.
Belfreya. She shakes the paw.
Fascinating name. Fascinating woman.
I am Torun.
First of your people I have seen.
We are scattered all over, mostly travelers and scholars.
Yeah, that I understand. I am of Astrae. We too are what some would call natives of the Starbound Plateau.
A long way from home.
Yeah, it's not necessarily home. I don't fit in well with my people.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to touch a nerve.
It's not necessarily a bad nerve to touch. It is more so just a... I blend into a crowd surprisingly well.
I see. And your friend?
This is Amy. I found her. She is now my ward, pup, friend.
Yay! I got upgraded. I mean, hi.
She's not raw.
She's kind of a jerk sometimes. But yeah, he, I guess for lack of better terms, kind of saved me, I guess.
Well met, Amy.
I don't know. He keeps me around. He says I'm kind of useful for reasons, but it is what it is.
Bow, chick, bow, bow.
Like I said, he's a bit of a jerk, but he gets the job done when it needs to be done.
About how far is this place from where we are currently at?
Was that in character or out of character?
Well, more so asking DM about how far is this place from where we are.
I will get you a rough metric here in just a moment.
Beard!
From Pyrn, if you go straight across the plains, it's going to take you at least 4 days of travel if you're moving fast, up to a week if you try not to exhaust anyone too much. And assuming you don't get, you know, waylaid.
Which,
let's waylaid.
This, yeah.
Ley lines.
Well, I mean, Valfreya, I'm up for... I was going to go investigate if you're willing to come. I'm always another companion. I'm never going to turn down some good conversation.
And some good backup from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Not
a big fan of spectral beings, but hey.
For an enemy that cannot be cut, you will find my talents useful.
Hopefully so. I mean, not being able to cut it wouldn't necessarily be a issue for me either, but yes, absolutely.
Well, she's cute and less grumpy than you, so yeah, let's bring her.
Fair enough.
Just nod in agreement. It's a whole lot easier than fighting with me. You know that. Because then we fight and you look like a turd because I'm a girl.
Yeah,
and you're well, you.
I look back over at the large human. I don't know about anybody else, but I'll take care of your problem for you.
I'd be pretty impressed if you could. Phantom's been plaguing Ma's back for generations. I used to think it was just a story till I saw it myself.
I mean, you are kind of putting it off as just a story, but hey, I don't have anything else going on right now. So, and the hunts are a little weak around this area as it is. So, I'll even take care of it for you for free. What do you say?
Clearly, he's smoking something because he normally doesn't say that word.
You are more than welcome to try, my furry friend.
Do have a question for you. Your village, Mossback, doesn't happen to have any kind of relic or treasure that you guys happen to possess, do you?
Anything like that would have been claimed by one of the kingdoms many, many years ago, my friend. We are just simple folk out in Mossback. I was a lumberer until that made that unfortunate swing with my axe.
Yeah, you might want to have to get another one of those.
Well, that's the unfortunate thing about being a lumberer. Can't make money without cutting trees. Can't cut trees without an axe.
Hmm.
There are other ways, as he looks at his claws.
For you, maybe.
Yeah, so I look back at Valfreya and kind of nod off to another corner. Let's leave this man to his misery.
Hmm. As I follow to the corner, I'll flip the bartender another mark to get this poor man another drink or maybe some food. Yes, food. Let's go with food. He'll probably be drinking enough in the next few days.
I also drop a couple more. I also drop a mark on there. Go see the caravan. It might do you some good.
Much appreciated, friend. If you can actually make good on your word, I'm sure the village will be mighty pleased with you.
Oh, I don't doubt that. There's a reason why I'm saying free to you. I'm sure there's opportunities elsewhere. Also, see the tricorn. It's amazing.
You know, I heard about that there tricorn. I might just do that.
It's something else.
I love this running joke. Can we keep it?
You thought I was joking when I said that there is a horse in a Concho caravan with three horns glued to its head?
And this guy just seems like he needs a giggle. The dragon is exactly what he needs.
Exactly.
Even if one of the horns falls off during it, then it's the bicorn. It'll be all right. Because we all know unicorns actually exist.
Of course. That would just be silly.
It's going to be funny because a tricorn is actually going to show up later in the campaign. It's going to be a real tricorn.
I heard you were talking shit like I wouldn't find out.
No, the one in the caravan is actually a real tricorn, but nobody is paying to see it because they think it's fake.
It's so sad.
What a twist. Exactly.
It talks and everything. Why does nobody want to come see me? Why do we go see that stupid flying elephant?
It's just an elephant with wing glued on it, so it doesn't even fly.
Exactly. I'm a talking horse with three freaking horns, man.
Wilbur.
Jesus.
Should we introduce my character and Felix's, since we kind of blew that?
Well, since Rachel and I have already been introduced into the character, I will describe myself, because it's what I do best. I am Kai Silverwind. I am about 5 foot six. No, 6 foot six.
Six
sorry.
Five.
Silver Moon? Puppy.
Silver Moon. I am about 6 foot five. About 250 pounds of muscle. Wearing a kilt and a chest piece. I am a wolf. I am covered in white fur, green eyes. Around me is constantly cold. Anybody within a few feet of me has a nice chill to their bones.
Refreshingly brisk, just like his personality.
Yes. I am the life of any party, as you could tell.
The master of the cold shoulder.
Exactly.
And boy, wait till you hear those icebreakers.
Dun, dun, dun.
You need to stop already.
Bounty hunter by trade. Right now, just kind of in between because, well, I happen to be here, and here is not very exciting, but hey, it has a hearth and food and isn't terribly expensive. So, yeah.
Well, you know, hey, right place, right time.
Please,
hey, just scratch them behind the ears. And
so that's exactly it. I am as tall as he is, but I still can go toe-to-toe with him. I'm about 6 foot tall. Long, lean, almost willowy in appearance. And my hair is actually a silvery blonde. So it's kind of a gold if you hit the sun in the right way, but in an unlit room, it looks almost white.
Spoopy.
Slightly pointed ears. If you were completely out of character, you might want to put me next to maybe a Tolkien high elf and kind of a mirror image. Crystal blue eyes. We're not really sure what my background is, though, because Kai actually found me in the woods and I was hiding. I was actually supposed to be one of his marks for his bounty hunting. But when he went and collected me and went to bring me to the
petitioner,
Kai came to find out that he was a slave trader. I had been one of his slaves previously that he had sold for quite a pretty penny, and he wanted me back because I ran away. Basically, my purchaser had left a door unlocked, and that's never a good thing with one of my abilities that they were unaware of at the time. More on that later, though. So Kai decided very politely to remove the petitioner from existence. Because we don't deal in slave trade. That's just not okay. So he freed me and I had nowhere to go. And once he realized what my ability was, other than being obnoxious as sin in his world, I definitely had a lighter side to his personality. He's kind of kept me around, whether willingly or unwillingly, we're not quite sure. But I digress. Here I am. And he's taught me the trade that he is in. So I'm kind of a bounty hunter.
Most adorable bounty hunter ever.
A little bit childish and obnoxious, but somehow it works for me. He hasn't killed me yet.
You distract them, he stabs them.
Although he does threaten to kill me every day. At least a dozen times a day.
I dream of it even twice as many.
Ah, oh, but you love me, so you keep me around, sir. So.
Yes. Joining the club of incredibly tall people with white hair is Valfreya. About 6'3", with a very agile, lean sort of build. She has pretty much charcoal color skin. Not black, but very dark gray. Amethyst colored eyes, really, really bright, and long silvery white hair that she usually keeps in a bunch of tiny braids and tossed back into a pear tie or a bun or just let hang free. Usually wears bright, colorful clothing, but also a long white trench coat with these really strange sleeves that have giant cups with silver embroidery on them. But if she lets the cuffs down, the sleeves actually cover and go past her hands, like well past the hands. Lots of pockets everywhere and a belt at her waist. She is a scholar, adventurer, navigator for hire, researcher for hire. Likes to go places where there might be relics to be found and will do whatever, on the surface, whatever honorable work it takes to get her there. She does not take assassination, that sort of job requests, or she will pretend to take them and then not to kill the person. The only thing that matters is relics and research and not being an absolute douche.
Not being a douche is important. As a matter of fact, there's somebody in this room who learned the hard way that there are better things to be than a douche.
Yes.
And that was an attempt at a segue, but apparently he didn't catch the bait. He was probably expecting another pun.
I mean, what do you want me to say?
Well, you did just hear a man divulge a story about something that sounded decidedly grim and dark and ghostly. And a lot of people being quite unhappy about that. That seems like something that someone trying to reform their ways and want to do some good in the world might be potentially interested in.
It does. I mean, I do know a little bit about the undead, so I know that they're not completely invulnerable, or rather they shouldn't be.
Who are you in for a surprise? I mean,
10, they are not invulnerable. They are not invulnerable. That one time, God damn it!
So Calabras is dressed in full plate mail. Probably kind of hiding towards the back of the group, just listening in. Although he's only about six and a half feet tall, his armor puts him at about 7 feet, or just over it.
So he's got stilts? Or just a really big helmet?
He's got some fabulous heels on.
I'm just imagining one of those fantasy style helmets that has like the massive curling behemoth horns on top.
He has greaves that look like Gundam feet.
Yeah. That's pretty great. I can't do that.
Gundam feet are badass.
They are.
There's an episode titled Badass Gundam Feet.
His mask is kind of vented to allow like better breathing rather than the typical full like plate, because he never takes it off. So he has decided that he is going to help these three fools with their job because they know nothing about undead. So he's following them at about 10 feet. He's following them at about 10 feet behind.
So following them without attempting to hide the fact in the least that he's following them.
Ka-chunk,
especially ka-chunk, in full plate.
Ka-chunk.
Shh, I'm following you.
He figures he'll get to that road. He'll cross that bridge when he gets there.
Sneak.
There seems to be a very quiet person behind us.
I don't think he would be quiet even if he was stripped down naked.
I mean,
another brave soul here to help?
I'm going to make sure that you aren't getting yourselves killed.
You're cute. You think we're going to get killed? Have you seen him?
He may be
big. I point to Kai. He might have a skirt on, but trust me, he could probably kick your ass.
And where do your talents lie,
you know,
friend?
Whatever makes him happy. Not going to judge. You know, the tail gets in the way of things, but you know, never mind.
Yeah.
Hi, Kai.
What are you bringing other than bravado?
Well, let's say I have some magic talents.
Yeah. Another one. Fantastic. More wizard.
Magic talents, yet you wear plate armor. She doesn't sound like she doesn't believe you. She sounds interested.
Kai sounds like he doesn't believe you.
Perhaps I can show you a demonstration outside. It's non-threatening. All right, he's just saying that he would rather not a bunch of people see him.
And
sounds fair enough to me.
It's at this point, this giant 7'2" walking bear, like, what is this, about a fight?
Ruffy!
With this...
Not a fight. At least I hope not.
No. You're going out to defend the innocent?
Oh, yes. That will be a fight.
That we're doing with gusto.
Yes, that's
you.
Would you allow me, Fegul, the Ugar, join you? I can use my muscle with my katana. I can slice down the mightiest tree.
This is going to be a fun part. Is anybody else hearing the bear talk to us?
He's fluffy.
It's fascinating.
If fluffy is talking. It's okay.
He is. It's interesting.
I mean, you talk too, hon, but we just let that go.
I've seen a bear talk.
Out of character, Raul, how well known are your people?
You've seen a few of them wandering around. We're pretty much kind of
new kids on the block.
Kind of. Well, it's kind of like we live in a small village, but as like as we get older, we not get kicked out, but we have to wander away from our home village and like pretty much either
get find yourselves.
Yeah, we find ourselves.
So you go on a pilgrimage.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Do your people have a name?
The Unga.
The Unga. Okay. Oh, that's what you were saying, but I couldn't hear you because your mic clipped out. Okay.
Yes. A little backstory on the Unga. They are evolved, pretty much they're evolved bears. Pretty much who have evolved into the humanoid shape you see in front of you. About 7 feet tall, 7'2". I've got dark, grizzly fur.
God damn it! Oh,
I wasn't trying to do that.
Sure you weren't. We all believe you.
It's contagious.
Okay, I've got a
almost piece... unbearable.
Okay, I've got a piece of one ear missing from a
wound
from a misunderstanding. I thought the deer belonged to me, but the hunter saw
the deer thought otherwise.
Yes, I got in a fight with a bear when I was a cub. My people are a warrior race that our way to combat is through self-discipline and martial combat. We don't give in to our more savage instincts. We refuse to use our claws or teeth as a weapon. But we do use any kind of melee weapons, swords, katanas, axes. And we also use unarmed skills. Big old paw to the front without using the claws. Throws, disarm attacks, disarm our opponent, and just try to use our skill and our power to our advantage. Me on the other, I mean, I'm all that, but I'm always a fair fight. I'm honorable. I won't attack someone who does not anyone. I won't attack anyone unless I'm provoked to.
It's gonna be real awkward when we start outnumbering some dudes.
Right.
Well, if I see one guy overpowering like three or four people, I will step in. Because at that point, it's not a fair fight when you've got us.
Hey, Calabres, can you write some skeletons for him? I feel like this is not really fair. Just give him a few skeletons; it'll be fine.
So yeah, I'm wearing a light armor set, leather armor, very easy to move in.
Mobile.
I was going to say movability, but mobile. I've got a katana on one side, and then I've got a small bag with my belongings that I throw behind my back and I carry with me.
Awesome.
And so will you let me join your noble party to save these innocents?
You're quieter than that one, so I don't see why not.
I think your skills would be better at the local con circus.
Do not discount the Unga. They are a noble race.
Yes. I have already been with this particular one. They do not pay well. Plus, the tape hurts getting it off my fur.
Okay, that's
you know they make cream for that, right?
That was good.
And just,
that was amazing. I can't be angry about that.
Just because our friend the woodcutter says the phantom itself cannot be cut does not mean we won't encounter any other dangers on the way.
Valid.
Then at this point, comrades, let us go forth.
I will greet justice.
Though I am still curious to see our friend's promised demonstration.
All right, so once we're outside of the city, out of earshot of most people.
Hey, how you guys doing today? God damn it.
Goddamn cabbage seller!
My cabbages!
I stab a claw through a cabbage.
Calabres raises his hand and a small shake comes from the ground as a skeleton hand pops out and a full-fledged skeleton warrior claws.
Foul creature, be gone with you! I raise my katana and I slice it in half.
It shatters into nothing.
Come on, that took me like 3 seconds to make, dude!
Meanwhile, Belfreya's eyes flash just a very slight bit as she turns her eyes towards Calabras. She's not casting anything, but she does look like she's looking very closely at him. The Dungeon Master will know that she's attempting to detect the presence of an artifact that would be causing him to be able to do this.
What about a Dungeon Master? That sounds like something for a completely different game system.
Yeah, what are you talking storyteller. About? Sorry.
That is a trademark by Hasbro.
I don't know what that is. What is that?
Game Master will know this.
Everywhere else.
To the best of your abilities, you cannot tell that is anything other than his own mojo at work.
Curious.
I know a bit about the undead and the dark arts.
No offense intended, but it's rare to see someone of your skills who is fighting to defend the innocent. She says this in sort of a, you know, good for you type tone. Not trying to be demeaning.
Let's say
look at you animating corpses for the good of the people.
Well, out of character, they're already dead. They might as well do something else while they're dead. So. Defending the innocent? I mean, come on, that sounds pretty reasonable.
So are you saying these foul beasts are under your control and you will do it and you will use these for the good of the innocent?
Of course.
Okay.
I've had a change of heart.
My apologies for shattering your creature.
Friend?
Pile of bones.
I kind of am going to walk over and just kind of poke at the bones.
It means nothing to me. Although, for the person it once was, you might want to say some sort of apology.
It was so cute. It was not fluffy, but it was cute.
It and offers you a plate of spaghetti? With them.
All right, with you've seen my skills, you've seen his dark necromantic
his skills. Foul and black arts, much like his heart.
What kind of noble skills do you have, Wolfman? I think she said your name was Kai?
Correct. Kai. I hunt and I kill.
Ah, so you're a noble hunter that kills with a bow and arrow.
He looks down at his claws. Yes, the bow and arrow.
This one's bow. This one's arrow.
It's really kind of useless to him.
I call this one knife.
This is that one you really, really wants to annoy.
We don't talk about Steve much.
So much more fun from Jesus Claus.
So you go more towards your savage nature.
He's not savage. He's just
shots fired.
Efficient.
Basic instincts.
Me and my people. Do you not have basic instinct?
We do, but we try to get away from that side of our evolution. So we don't use our claws as weapons.
Well, that's useless.
Friend, you and I apparently have much different opinions on instinct.
And I'm sure they're both valid.
I mean, do you pee in the woods? Because that's kind of like having claws. If you pee in the woods, then it's natural. You've got claws. Use them.
He's in the forest.
Yes, but using these claws would completely negate all the skills I have learned with this sword and my fighting style. Me and my people look in through enlightenment with learning external skills.
Oh, another one of the...
I am confused.
He's a preacher.
I'm the GM.
He's a preacher. We're moving on. And Kai just begins walking.
Bye!
All right, let us go. Which way are we going now?
Little traveling. Silly.
We go southwest.
Yes.
And Velfreya pulls out her map and points this way.
Yay, pseudo-cartographer.
how long will that take us to travel? From what I
you
heard...
You won't be on the road for a while.
About a week.
A week? Great! That's perfect time for us to get to know each other.
Love
and
it.
We will respect and acknowledge each other's differences.
I think I like the necromancer.
I'm confused. Kai.
I have a feeling this guy is going to continue to talk to me about my claws.
No. I understand you using everything you have at your disposal for your fighting. I'm just saying this is my way.
I'm better than that.
The fur ruffles on the back of his neck.
Quick, somebody rub his belly. Somebody rub his belly.
Out of character, and this is in the description, animal side is not necessarily one he poking at it. So it's like trying not to claw this bear. that's why he just instantly labels you a preacher, because yes, I've seen others who try and treat me like a dog.
Sit, stay.
Is that in character talking to me?
Yes.
Oh, no. I see you as a sentient being that has every right to do.
I do not think that word means what you think it means.
No, it absolutely. Yeah. Amy, just stop.
Oh, okay.
It's okay. He thinks I'm one of him. So, on that note, that's where we're gonna break for this episode.
Before the animals start clawing each other apart.
Cat fight!
No, one's going to try and claw the other
this
one.
Is the wrong series for the cat fight.
Jack Hanna's Wild Kingdom up in this bitch.
Delphine's going to have to be Team Mom.
Because she don't have moon sugar.
God damn it.
So that was the first episode of the Open Legend portion of the Mana Pool. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Josh, for spinning this amazing tale. We'll be right back here next week with more I'm guessing travel montages.
Travel montages, death, dismemberment, I mean fun.
And then fun, we're gonna come back family. That's what a necromancer does.
Hey,
these are my new friends.
So if you want to support this show and everything that we do on the Geek.io network, make sure you go over to patreon.com/geek.io. twitch.tv/geek.io shows where we do all of our live streaming content. Give us a follow there and get notified for whenever we go live with podcasts and streams and overducklings.
Back!
There we go. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
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 This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.